have notes kind of all over the place here, so you bear with me as I look at these different things here. But who would have known I'd be standing up here a year later like this? It's not something I would have necessarily wished for, of course. But for those of you who didn't know me, probably most of our church will remember a year ago. I got a call very, very early in the morning from my mom and dad. And just that call that you never, ever would wish upon anybody or for yourself. And it was that my youngest brother, Adam, who's 13 years younger than me, had died in a car accident. Just him. There's no other cars involved in the accident. But something that nothing really seriously tragic had happened in my immediate family up until that point. And it's one of those things that you never could prepare for. It's not one of those things that you think about happening. You don't want to think about those things, obviously. But I just want to share just a few things that God's taught me through it, and things that just being able to look towards the Lord in the midst of surprises, tragedies that happen. And kind of the focal point of me and Andrea is just going to be about things that we ought to remember, even about those tragic times, and then the things that we ought to forget about. And first off, let me just say one thing that I've learned is that forgetting can be a gift from the Lord. Just the ability to forget some things. And it might not make complete sense right now, and maybe I know many of us in this building have been through tragic situations before, and I don't think that mine is any more tragic than anybody else's by any means. I'm a brother. It's different from my mother and father. It's different from a child to their parents, but I'll at least be able to tell it from my perspective. After that call, it was very early in the morning. My alarm was set to go off like an hour later, so it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I got that call, and I just remember not knowing what to do. My mind was not clear. I didn't understand what was happening, and I remember Andrea, of course, had woken up at that time too, and I'm not a very emotional. I think a little later on, at least from what I can see, God used that in a way, and I pray that he used that to be a blessing to others too. I didn't know quite what to do, what was the next step. My parents were in Florida at the time. They lived there for a few months out of the year, basically. But one of the first things that came to my mind after all of that, once 5 minutes or 10 minutes after the call, after my mind was a little bit more clear, was I remember something I heard in college, of all things, of like, and it was advice given to a pastor saying, if somebody in your church has a tragic situation, right, like that, get with them as soon as you possibly can if you're a pastor. And I remembered my parents, like, they have a church they go to in Florida, but it's not their church. And I said, okay, they're there, they're alone, none of my other family is there. Adam was the only one with them there in Florida. So it's just my mom and dad down there. They have some friends down there, of course, but I was like, somebody has to get down there with them. And, of course, you could rely on other people maybe, but I was just like, okay, I'm one of the older sons. I probably should be down there. And I believe that's just wisdom from God giving me that. And 4:30 in the morning, I get on my phone. Okay, how am I going to get down to Fort Myers, Florida? I need to be down there fast. And thankfully, everything lined up so perfectly. It was a flight out of Baltimore at 7 in the morning, direct right to Fort Myers. Neither of them that big of airports, but direct flight. I would have been there. I got there at 9 o'clock in the morning. And again, not to give you the whole story, but I do want to share with you something that God worked on my heart about. While I was on that plane for 2 hours and 10 minutes down to Florida, and I didn't have anything else to do, didn't want to do anything else, I had my phone on me, of all things, because it's a normal thing to have. And I just started writing down things, and I started a list of little lessons that God taught me already, only after a few hours, and then things he continued to teach me through during that time. Some of them might seem trivial. Some of them many of us can relate to, but this might sound trivial, but this is kind of one of those piece of advice you don't want to hear about necessarily. Kind of like life insurance or a living will. Those things that you don't ever want to, that's never going to happen to me. I don't want to think about those things. It's true. But this is also true. I have my phone set up, so every time I'm in church, every time I'm in a meeting and work, or every time it's 10 o'clock to like 6 o'clock in the morning, my phone goes completely silent, dead. Like nobody can get through to me at that time. I had it set up like that. And about a year before all of this happened, my dad had mentioned, he's like, I don't know if that's a good idea. What if one of us needs to get a hold of you? And then I saw that there's a setting like, okay, you favorite a few people, and then they can get through that do not disturb thing. And if you have do not disturb on your phone, I would highly recommend having people, because I could not imagine my parents trying to call me in the middle of the night and not being able to reach me in that. I'm thankful that they were on my favorites list and they were able to get through to us immediately. But that's the first thing that I wrote down on the list, that they were able to wake me up at that time and talk. Thankful for a nonstop early flight. I was able to get more than 1,000 miles away in just a matter of hours. I'm thankful that Adam had 22 years of life. It doesn't sound like a long time, maybe, but it's 22 years. He was able to be part of our family. And he knew that my mom and dad loved him. He was adopted by my mom and dad, as many of you know. They adopted him when he was an infant from Romania. And then when he was 13, 14, something like that, God adopted him through salvation. I'm thankful for a wife. This is right from that list that I wrote on the plane. I'm thankful for a wife who loves and supports me. Thankful for children that I love. I'm thankful that I apologized to Eric last night for, I think I raised my voice at him or something like that. I talked to our pastor, on my way to the airport. And I'm thankful that Pastor was able to empathize and understand because of the tragedy he went through with one of losing a child. And then very soon after that, Pastor and Jenny came to our house. I wasn't there, of course, but Pastor and Jenny came and prayed with Andrea and the kids that very morning. Thankful that in my car, I don't usually listen to CDs anymore, but it happened to be in there when I turned on my car that day, that there was a CD, When Jesus Comes, perfect. And one of the songs that was some of the way in there was It As Well, very good arrangement by Soundforth that does that song. It's an all men's group. It was perfect. Thankful that my mom and dad have loving and supporting pastor. I'm thankful my sister Katie has her husband Austin. They had been married for about 4 months at the time. Thankful that Jesus is coming soon and that Adam might just beat us. Back then, I said by a few hours, hey, maybe it's only by a few years that he beats me to heaven. Then there were also, those are things that I was able to be thankful for, but then there were also lessons that God taught me. And again, I think a lot of you will understand this. Something I didn't understand at all before all of this, but I think I do now a bit. Sorrow tends to come in waves. At least for me, it did. It wasn't all at once, boom, it's there and it's there to stay. It came intensely. Your mind drifts to something else that's completely unrelated. It could be good, could be bad, whatever it is. It drifts to somewhere else for a little while, but then all of a sudden it just comes rushing back. And it can be vicious sometimes when that shock returns. This is something that Pastor said. I imagine Pastor said this to many of you in hard times. In your darkness, God is the same as when you're in the light. God's always the same, even in the darkest times. And then something, I think I wrote this down the week afterward, that life can seem so mundane and frivolous until we're confronted with how brief life can be. God wants us living in love with him and others like we do in the valley. It's a reminder from heaven to live for God and don't waste our lives. We don't know how long we have. And going back to that part about not being emotional and not understanding, like, why am I not crying? I should be. This is my brother. This is somebody who I saw the whole process of adoption and growing up. And all, why? What's my problem? I was there. I got there first. Saw my parents. And people grieve differently. My mom, different from my dad, different from me, different from my brothers and sisters. And, you know, you watch the movies, you see, you assume other people that it's like, oh, you just hug each other and cry all the time. That's what you do. Some, it is that way. Nothing wrong with that at all. But I realized pretty quick that that's not what my parents needed at the time. They needed somebody to mourn with them, but not necessarily to embrace them for hours on end and cry. And I think I realized that I just have to be strong for them. I needed to be that one. My siblings helped fulfill those other roles of somebody to be a bit more emotional with. But as much as that's true, as much as I thought, oh, I got to be the strong person. I got to do everything. I got to handle maybe funeral arrangements because my parents aren't going to want to do that. But I found out pretty quick that my dad wanted to handle everything. And I was talking to my mom in the midst of all of that and grieving. And I was like, Mom, why does he want to call the funeral? I would never want to do that. Why would he want to call the car insurance company about the car that got wrecked? Like, these are all horrible things you don't want to deal with. And she's like, well, he's taking care of his son. And I realized pretty quick, yeah, that's my dad, takes care of his kids. And he did. And I saw a side of my parents that I had never seen before. It was always there. Just those sides of your parents you never see. And just the lesson from that is God gave me a role. God gave me a role to be there, to be with them, to help them with whatever they needed, all kinds of things. And use the gift. Use what God gives you. If you're the person to sit, my aunt ended up being the perfect person who my mom called and just wept with. Perfect. That's who my mom needed, was my aunt to do that. And another thing that I learned is just have whatever the needs are for other people you're grieving with, have your eyes open and look for all the even the smallest things that can be a help to them. Be hypersensitive. I've always asked the question, what do I say when something like this happens? What do I say when I'm talking on the phone when a tragedy happens? What do I do? Sometimes it's okay to say absolutely nothing. And a comment on Facebook sometimes is good, and sometimes it's completely unneeded when people are grieving. And it's be hypersensitive to others' needs and search for what they need and how God is dealing with them. And just to sum everything up here, so I can give Andrea time here too, just the two main parts, I guess, of my testimony here is that we should forget those things, at least for me. Forget those things would point us to God. I opened Ecclesiastes here for a reason. I was going to read at the beginning, but I'm going to read two verses from here in Ecclesiastes 3. First one, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And then a little bit farther down, verse 5, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Time to get, time to lose, time to keep, and a time to cast away. And memories, some are meant to be kept forever. And those things about Adam, my parents, in the midst of all of this, the things that I can remember, I hold those dear. That's why they're written down on my phone. I'm not a great note taker at all, but I'm so thankful that I have those written down. Even in the worst time that I was able to sit on a plane and write a bunch of things down, it might have seemed like nonsense to me then, might seem like nonsense now, but just being able to do that and remember those things. But there are things that I should not go back to. There I know, and I know it's like this for my parents too, me to a much lesser extent. But just to remember back on some things, all it does is point me to myself, points me about my loss, points me about my grieving, my emotions. It's not about me. It's not about my pain all of the time. Those are the things that I ought to forget. The details of the accident, I want to forget those. There's a lot of details I do forget. The details of the call when my parents got I remember a lot of them, but I have to choose not to think about those because I know how easy those thoughts can take me to a very dark place that's not pointed towards God. But then at the same time, last thing here, I should always remember those things that point me to the Lord and point me to helping others. Those are the things never to forget. And I'm thankful to the Lord for bringing us through. We were just with my parents a couple of days ago. We were there for 10 days, and we had a lot of pleasant memories. Still a lot of grieving going on. There's healing, but at the same time, those wounds, those scars will be there forever. But those scars, instead of looking at them and remembering the pain from those scars, how about we look at those scars and see how God healed them and that they're not open wounds anymore. They're scars there. But I pray that it can help some people there. And not that I'm any expert on any of this. It's just something that we've been through, and thankful to the Lord for how he's worked in me.